Welcome to Minnesota Reads on KUMD. Minnesota Reads produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Our guest this morning is Lois Rafferty, and she has written a book called Carney's Child. Lois, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Lisa. I'm happy to be with you this morning.
This is a fascinating book for a couple of reasons. One is that it takes a look at the death of a child. It's not the first book to tackle such a painful and emotional and complicated topic, but it's one of the few that I've read that focuses on the after effects of the person who was inadvertently responsible for the death of the child. Usually a novel will take a look at the effect on the family losing a child, and this is written with the woman who accidentally caused the child's death. As that point of view. So that's one thing I thought was fascinating. The other thing that's fascinating is that this book, in a sense, is an outgrowth of what you do for a living. Can you tell us a little bit about what you do and how that perhaps became the genesis of this novel?
I have been teaching courses at the college, university level for many years, aging courses, gerontology courses. And in every course that I've taught, Lisa, I've covered issues of grief and loss. And I had articles published about grief. And all along through the years, I had wanted to write a piece of fiction about this painful topic, and in particular about trauma. And so, first of all, I decided that I wanted my main character to be a woman in her middle years, and to explore what happened to her with this horrible accident. She's a teacher, so she loves children. The accident was not her fault. It was just a terrible tragedy. But her grief is so profound that she pushes away all of the people she is loved the most by, her family, her friends, her colleagues, and she just goes into herself. And it takes a long time and a lot of really hard work to crawl out of this terrible cocoon of sorts that she's created for herself. And I do believe that this really does happen with people. And it can be hard for loved ones who are trying to help. They don't always know just what to do to help the person who's struggling.
One of the things that we're learning, I think, perhaps through social media and our increased ability to communicate with each other, is that what our intuition tells us might be helpful about helping people with regard to grief and loss is so often so utterly not helpful.
Oh, that's so wise what you just said. You're absolutely correct. We want to help. We want to rush in and make it all better. And that's very often not doable by those of us who are the so-called helpers. Sometimes the best thing we can do is to be good listeners, to sit and listen. And if the person who's struggling wants to talk, so be it. If the person wants to go over and over and over the details with us, be willing to listen still once more. And if the person just wants to be still and not talk, that's sometimes the time that this loved one or friend or colleague most needs someone to just sit with him or with her and let the silence be okay.
What are some of the things that, as you have written this book and worked through this book and through your teaching and your conversation with students over the years, what are some of the things, perhaps in addition to listening, that we can do to help someone who is going through deep grief or perhaps a trauma? We want to offer pat solutions, and we want to say, you know, something, life goes on, whatever. We find that so many times these things hurt more than they help.
Oh, that's so true. I think, again, being good listeners, sometimes just leaving some resource materials for the person to look at when he or she is able to take that take those help sources in. But telling someone, what I've done often is to tell someone I love who's grief-stricken or suffering from trauma, is that I am here, and please know that you can call me morning, noon, night. It's okay to call me in the middle of the night when things can seem very, very scary and hard and overwhelming. And then, you know, the things that often help people who are struggling with these things is to know that doing physical exercise can make a difference. And, of course, that's a time when people often can hardly get themselves out of their bed, let alone exercise. Writing down all of what you're feeling and thinking, no matter how appalling it might be, and then feel free to rip it up afterwards. Try to take care of yourself nutritionally. Try to be at ease with yourself, to not put added pressure on yourself. This is not a time to tackle a huge project at work or to tackle hosting a big family reunion or whatever it might be. It's sometimes a time that it's perfectly okay to just go inside of oneself and heal. It takes a long time. And sometimes people don't feel they deserve to heal if it's been a trauma. And that can be difficult, too. I've had so many responses from readers, Lisa, that have been interesting, telling me about traumas they have experienced that are very different from the ones the character in my book experienced. In one case, it was a physical abuse situation. I had known this woman for years. I never had known she had been through this. In another case, it was a Vietnam veteran whose mother had kind of rejected him, had not really shown him any love. I mean, just a very close friend of mine who's now 102 years old. She was the first person who called me after the book was published. And she said, you know, Lois, my mother never showed me any affection, and I think this has affected me my entire life. This is a woman who is so lovely, so poised, so kind. I would never have known that she was struggling with this all through the years. You just never know what people are going through sometimes.
Lois, you've used your platform as a teacher to talk about many of these issues for years, and yet it seems that something different and transformative happened when you took your knowledge, your skills, and you translated it into a work of fiction. What does it mean to people to see perhaps themselves, their thoughts, their feelings, represented in a work of fiction?
Again, Lisa, it's been so interesting, the responses that I've had when I've done speaking engagements or when I've, you know, met with people in book groups or just had people telephone me or write me letters. My goal with this book was to reach a wider audience, not only people who are going to work in the field of gerontology. My whole career has been human services, and I've had marvelous students over the years. But it dawned on me somewhere along the line that these things affect everyone. Everyone has a story inside of them that is painful. And sometimes they've never felt that they could talk about this. And so my hope with this book was truly that it could be a vehicle for opening up discussion, if nothing else, making someone realize I'm not the only one. Maybe mine was different, but I'm not the only one. I have a close friend who actually told me, you know, you think you know someone so well, but you don't. Sometimes you just don't. And she said, Lois, this was timely for me because I was driving my car a while back and I hit a runner. I was making a left turn and I hit a runner, and she's going to be okay, but she was injured. And she said this was so terrible that I almost ended up in a hospital myself. And, you know, the wide emotions she had felt were just so extreme. And here we are, very good friends, and she had not told me about that. So my hope was that someone could read this book and either have healing for his or her own experience, or be able to understand a loved one who is going through such a terrible thing. So I know that my example in this story is extreme. I had always thought, what would happen if I ever inadvertently, obviously, harmed a child? I was a second grade teacher in an earlier life. I got grandchildren. I cannot imagine much worse than that. And so here was this special educator who loves children, thought she had built a perfect life for herself, and it all fell apart in one fell swoop.
Lois,
these things happen. They do happen to people.
Lois, it's a fascinating read, and it's a wonderful read. Thank you so much for not only writing the book, but for sharing some of your special insights. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Lisa. Take good care.
Lois Rafferty, our guest this morning on Minnesota Reads. Her book is called Carney's Child. Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.